tell you to be different and creative and think this way? A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. What is going on, everybody? We are back. Welcome in to episode number 133 of the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. I'm your host, Kyle Bennett. Joining me over the voice line is not Dom because he is on vacation enjoying the sun, tanning. He's going to look way better than I do when he gets back. But since we haven't recorded in some time, we wanted to get an episode out because there is a lot to talk about. So we teased, I believe, on the last episode that we have interns now. And one of those interns is an OTB intern. And that is the one and only Harrison Kremens, who joins me now on FaceTime on the voice line.
What's going on, everybody?
Long-time listener. Long-time listener of the show. And now you're an intern, so how does that feel?
Feels fantastic, you know? Just getting into, like, the journalism and broadcasting major at IU. So getting one right off the gun and working with a podcast that I listened to so long is just fantastic.
I'm pretty sure you've been around since episode one. And if not, we're just going to say that you were because it feels that
just
long.
Just around that time. It's been a while.
It makes sense. But before we get started, got to give those incredible sponsor shout-outs to our merch provider, DesignTree, DSGNTree.com. Search Outside the Box. Get all your merch ready for the PLL Championship Series with the OTB logo shirt, the Newman Nukes hot sauce, the Chef Rambo, the OG Chef Rambo shirt that was ever released is from us. You know you should be rocking it because Maryland's head coach has the Chef Rambo shirt. It's easy. Use the promo code DSGN10 to save yourself $10 off at checkout. And then, of course, our awesome friends at Tomahawk Shades, tomahawkshades.com. Sign up for their rewards program. Earn Hawk points. Every dollar you spend, you earn Hawk points. If you follow them on Facebook and Instagram through the site, you get 50 Hawk points per follow. If you celebrate a birthday, you get 100 Hawk points on your birthday, and it's basically free money to spend on sunglasses, blue light glasses, you name it, they've got it. And we're giving you that promo code to save you money right off the bat. You're going into your purchase already saving 25% off with our promo code USP. Use that at checkout, save yourself 25% off, help us pay some bills, and look good, feel good, play good with our friends at Tomahawk Shades. A lot to talk about. The last episode, we finished recording before all the waiver moves hit, and we thought the waiver period was just going to be silent. We were absolutely wrong, so we will go through these final rosters now that they are complete, but there are a lot of familiar faces coming over to the PLL this summer, and I can't contain my excitement about one in particular, and that is my homie, my dog, Josh Currier. Is in the PLL. He's my boy. He's playing for the Archers. Jake Withers is playing for the Water Dogs. Jesse King, Kinger, he is in the league now playing for Chrome. A lot of big moves happened at that waiver period, and we've got final rosters in the PLL to discuss as the final 22-man rosters for each team came out today. Harrison, let's kick it off with the team that had the number one pick in the college draft, and that is the Archers. It is where Josh Currier is playing, and Josh Currier, Grant Amen, and the Bunk Bed Boys lead this attack group. That attack group is just lethal.
Everywhere you look, there's just danger. I mean, do you want to get burned by Manny and Holman? Do you want Currier to light you up, or do you want Grant to just run over you? It's
stupid.
It's a loss every single time you look at it from an opposition standpoint.
We are going to see a lot of those arrows up celebrations this summer.
We are. Will Manny will be just having a ball. He will be putting shots top left, top right, bottom left.
It's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
And hashtag Will Manny come on the podcast challenge. Still in effect.
Come on out.
Defense for this squad, they're only rocking with three true defenders. That's Curtis Corley, Eli Gobrecht, friend of the show, and Matt McMahon, also friend of the show. This is the interesting part to me about this Archers defense. They're rocking with only three true defenders, with only, if I'm not mistaken, one of them in Matt McMahon, who was a full-time player for them last year. No Jackson Place. Jack Rapine is on the restricted roster. And to only have three true defenders going into this, this is where I look at this Archers roster and I'm like, okay, this offense and, you know, the midfield with guys like Ian McKay and Tom Schreiber, they're going to have to outscore everybody because they're going to need it.
They're going to have to work hard on the transition game too, because if they spend too much time in that defensive zone, with three defenders, you're going to get gassed really quickly. Doesn't matter how great conditioning shape you're in, too much time in that zone, and you're going to get burned.
Totally agree. And they're doing the smart thing and bringing both of their face-off guys, Brendan Fowler and Stephen Kelly, both on the final roster. Adam Gittleman, Drew Adams. This is where I'm also going to be intrigued. Because we all know last year the way that Archers employed their goalies. Drew Adams played one half. Adam Gittleman played the other. Will they do that again this year, knowing how condensed the season is? And also knowing that Adam Gittleman has that advantage of living in Utah. He's used to that altitude now. Is that something where maybe he plays an entire game now? Or do they just continue to go with, you know, one half is one guy, the second half is the other?
I'd put this all down to the goalies themselves, how they're feeling comfortable with it. Because there are those games, I personally know, like, you go in one half, and you're feeling great, and you'd never want to come out. But there are also those games where you go in and you just get lit up. It doesn't even have to have you being lit up. It can just, you feel a vibe off. Mm-hmm. You feel wrong. And that's those games where you feel that switching at halftime is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, and I mean, these games being on top of each other the way that they are, too, it's not like a week-to-week thing. It's back-to-back-to-back.
It's right away.
Yeah.
That's going to be old-school, elementary school tournament-style lacrosse.
And I think that's why the Archers are bringing...
So how they practice.
Right. And that's why I think they're bringing three LSMs. Because last year, every single game day, when you looked at the LSM position, it was just, friend of the show, Scott Ratliff. Now you've got Evan Connell, Mike Simon, and Scotty Ratliff in their LSM. Maybe some things changing up.
I honestly think these guys can take runs at defense as well.
Mm-hmm. Especially Mike Simon.
If Matt McMahon, if Gobrecht, if Corley, if they get tired at all, you've got more than capable replacements right there to take a shift, take two or three shifts. I mean, you want someone tough as nails out there, throw in Scott Ratliff for one or two shifts, get the opposing attack tired down, and then bring on your normal defense. It's just easy as that.
And I could see Mike Simon dropping back like he did most of last year, where I'm pretty sure he was just playing true defense for them. So, I mean, they have some switchability there. And then we look at this midfield. Christian Mazzone, Dominique Alexander, Ian McKay, Joey Sankey, Mark McNeil, Ryan Ambler, Captain America, Tom Schreiber, and Tyler Pfister.
Sheesh. All you can say is that's a deep midfield. they're going to run over so many teams. I mean, the pace of Dominique Alexander alone, the ground ball work he does, Ian McKay, the hustle of Joe Sankey.
Grinder. You know
that last year when he was on the – we saw it last year in the first couple games with the Woods, saw the rest of the season with the Archers. Man sets up, and he puts in the work. So,
and, I mean, we're going to get pick and rolls with every guy on that attack with Tom Schreiber, which I just can't wait to see.
Grant and Tom are going to be playing off each other perfectly. It'll run like clockwork is what it's going to do.
And then the restricted list for Archers is Davey Amala, Jack Rapine, and Austin Sims. Overall, I'm a
surprised.
I'm a fan of this Archers roster.
Yeah. They are definitely building for a deep run in this tournament. I'm thinking the semifinals are bust at least.
Mm-hmm. Easily.
That should be the goal for this Archers team, at least.
There's no doubt about that. They have the firepower to do so. They did lose a lot in the expansion draft when Ben McIntosh most notably went over to the Water Dogs.
Four players.
Cuccinello went over to the Water Dogs. So I mean they beefed up.
They definitely made up for Cooch right away with that drafting of Grant. I mean, losing Cuccinello was a big hit to them immediately. But with that number one pick, you're taking a generational attackman. So,
and yeah, Josh Currier to the mix. Yeah. And
adding Josh to the mix is just
big fan.
That was a great pick in the entry draft.
Let's look at the most disappointing team in the PLL last season, this Atlas roster. You and I were talking before we started recording. We kind of feel the same way about Atlas this year that we did last year. They're on paper, they look great, but how are they going to click? So Atlas's roster, their attack group looks like this. Chris Kluche, Eric Law, Rob Pinnell, and Ryan Brown. Again, on paper, that's disgusting.
Like, right away, you're expecting Pinnell to come in and just light up the league. That's the expectation. Eric Law and Ryan Brown had explosive years last year, putting up 20-plus goals, each of them. And working with Pinnell should help them out a lot. And Kluche off the bench, he'll get a couple reps. He's always a threat to score. We've seen that in the NLL, and we saw that last year whenever he played.
Yeah.
But the thing with Atlas is you just never know how this team is going to play.
Mm-hmm.
They come out 1 week and they look like the team they're supposed to be. Everything's firing on all cylinders. I mean, Paul's playing like Paul. Trevor's winning everything at faceoff. You're not getting past Kyle Hartzell in the midfield, and their attack is just firing. But we saw too often last year that this Atlas team can come out slow and with heavy feet and slow sticks.
Mm-hmm.
They need to show, I think this year is do or die year for them. They need to show that they are the team that they were touted to be. This is that year for them.
And that's where this next group comes into play, because last year their defense was the equivalent of a New York City subway turnstile. And this defense
just going
group,
through.
On paper, again, this defense group looks great. Austin Pifani, Cade Van Raphorst, Callum Robinson, who's coming off that ACL injury, and Tucker Durkin. Cade, I think, is one of the rising young stars in this league. I think he's going to be the anchor of this defense. Piff getting consistent playing time, I think, is going to be incredible for his game. And then you've got Tucker and Callum.
Again, with the guys who played last year, you could see their potential. You could definitely, because they have those moments of just pure genius, and then the next second they're getting run over, and it's like, where's the consistency?
Mm-hmm. And then, speaking of consistency, obviously Trevor Baptiste, their face-off guy, Jack Kincannon, Scotty Rogers, in the cage for them. and then Craig Chick and Kyle Hartzell at LSM. And then we get to the midfield, which I think is the most important part of this Atlas roster. It's very new look. There's a lot of new pieces that could either be a huge benefit, or we'll see what we saw last year with the chemistry issues and it be the Achilles heel. So looking at this midfield, their draft pick, Brian Costabile, stud. Connor Busick, will he score another goal with a dislocated arm?
Let's hope he doesn't dislocate his arm again. That would be,
Jake Richard, another formidable force. You add Jeremy Thompson off of waivers when he was let go by Chaos. Joel Tinney, stud, friend of the show. John Crawley, another beast. Kevin Unterstein. Stun. You've got Paul, and then you traded for Romar Dennis. This is the make-or-break part of the roster, is this entire midfield.
It was the most inconsistent part of the team again last year, just because you have such high expectations for this kind of midfield. Mm-hmm. You see Paul Rabil on any roster, and you immediately go, oh, well, they should be the ones winning. And he didn't really perform up to his expectations last year.
23 points.
That's absurd. Like, that's numbers you would expect some rookie to be putting up, something like that. That's numbers
part-time player numbers, and Paul was playing full-time.
That's Brian. Like, I could see Brian Costabile coming into this lineup and putting up 23 in his rookie year.
I think Brian's going to put up more than 23 in his rookie year.
At least, bare minimum. Like, I do think this is Paul's year, though, because he'll be coming in with a hunger. Mm-hmm. He'll be wanting to put balls in the back of the net. He'll be wanting to set up his teammates, and he'll be wanting to take this Atlas squad and win that title, because that's what they were supposed to do last year.
You need the midfield to help out that defense. Not that the defense needs help per se, but the amount of times that attack groups got through and were able to just, you know, have their way with Jack Kincannon, who is one of the best, like, your All-Star Game MVP was a goalie. Jack Kincannon's one of the best goalies in the league. And
his reactions are faster than I've seen in most other goalies.
He stood on his head more times than any other goalie did last year, because the Atlas midfield and defense let him down. And that's the thing that needs to be fixed with this team. New coaching staff in place. So that's what they have to hope for, is that the midfield really steps up to help that defense. And the restricted roster is James Pinnell, Andrew Hodgson, and Brent Noseworthy. But I'm with you, man. I'm still feeling skeptical about Atlas. They look great on paper. They got to prove it.
This is Walker talk time.
Yes. Let's move on to the LFG roster. Andy Towers, Chaos.
Matt,
this squad.
This is a fun one. This is a fun one.
It's stupid what this attack group looks like. Friends
coming out the gate with five attackmen.
Friends of the show, Austin Stotts and Curtis Dixon, added to the roster finally. Obviously, Austin was rehabbing last year from his knee injury. Curtis didn't get a chance to play because he was injured as well. Then you've got the three guys returning in Connor Fields, Josh Byrne, Miles Thompson.
Where do you even start with them? Where do you even start with that? You got some of the sickest stick skills of anybody in the PLL with all five of those guys on attack.
Just redefines depth.
Yeah, because, I mean, you stick any three of those guys, any combination of the three, and you're going to be scoring. You're going to be confusing defenders. You're going to be running past them and just burning goalies.
Then you've got my favorite defensive group in the league. Jack Rowlett, Jared Newman, Johnny Cernik. This group is young. They're hungry. They want to prove that they're not just, you know, one-year wonders. I love the way that Jack and Jared played together last year. Johnny's got big shoes to fill, filling in for Brody Merrill, who's now on the Water Dogs. But I like that trio of defenders. But again, similar to the Archers, Having only three defenders is going to be interesting, but I think that's when you've got guys like Matt Reese and Troy Ray to come in and, you know, help be the bullies in the back end to protect either Blaze or Dylan Ward.
This is exactly the type of defense I would love to play behind. They're loud. That's a major aspect of this defense. You can hear them. You understand everything they're going to do, and they let you know. That is so important. That's more important than stick skills, honestly, on that end of the field. And it's just so fun to watch them play. They come out there with this just sort of life about the defense.
They've got swagger.
Yeah, they've got the bomb squad.
Yes.
You go out there, and you don't know what to expect because they can change on you in an instant. Mm-hmm. And you need to keep your eyes open because if you mess up while playing against these guys, they will you know. Just as much as they will let you know where the ball is, what's going on the field, they will let you know when you screw up because you better slide again. You just got to keep sliding.
Should have slid again. Tommy Kelly taking the faceoffs. This one's interesting to me because Chaos is only bringing one faceoff guy. But Tommy Kelly was on the Stripe podcast with a friend of the show, Greg Gerenlian, this week. And they were talking about this. And they brought up an interesting thing. Jake Fricaro took faceoffs when he was at Villanova.
Fricaro could obviously jump in and do that. This might also be an instance where they really miss Jeremy Thompson, though.
Mm-hmm. And Fricaro, which I guess I missed it, also took faceoffs when Greg was injured on the sideline in the All-Star game.
Did he actually?
Yes. So I guess their backup plan for a faceoff guy, if they need it, say if Tommy Kelly jumps or if they need somebody, is going to be Jake Fricaro, which I think will be extremely interesting. Like we said, the goalies, Blaze Reardon and Dylan Ward, you want to talk about depth. That's depth in and of itself.
That's depth.
Matt Reese and Troy Ray. Matt Reese and Troy Ray at LSM is filthy. And then let's take a look at this midfield because great googly moogly. Deemer Class, Dane Smith, Eric Scott, Jake Fricaro, Kevin Buchanan, Mark Glassini, Pat Resch, Sergio Salcedo, and Tyson Bell also added to the roster. Did not play last year for Chaos, but will finally be out there. And then the restricted roster, Austin Henningsen, Jason Noble, and Dan Coates.
Again, pick your poison with this midfield. Pick your poison.
Pick your poison with this entire roster, if we're being honest. Honestly,
this is a team that should be in the final. Expect Chaos to be in the final this year.
It's going to be a lot of fun watching them play.
Yeah, no doubt.
Chromeback 2020 is here.
Ooh.
I like this roster, man. I'm big fan of what they are doing.
They could shock the world. Honestly, you saw it in all of their games last year, too. This, even though they went 2-7 in the regular season, something like that. Those were all close games.
And they had one of the best goal differentials in the league.
Yeah. This is not a team to just roll over and die for you.
Yeah.
Expect a couple upsets out of these guys.
Chrome is rocking with a 5-man attack group of Brendan Cavanaugh, Jesse King, Jordan Wolf, the only player in the PLL last year to score 2 goals at least in every single game, and that is Justin Gutty Gutterding. And then the rookie, Matt Gaudette. Talk about help for Gutty and Jordan Wolf. You've got it. You're adding Brendan Cavanaugh, who is a stud, Jesse King, and Gaudette.
Yeah,
where do I sign to watch this attack group mesh and come together?
Again, this behind Archers and Chaos might be one of the most fun attacks in the league. I mean, just from the get-go, Gutty, one of the most fun players to watch. You never know what he's going to do. And throwing him in with Jordan Wolf, Gaudette, Jesse Kane, and Kavanaugh, just watch the goals pile up for Chrome.
Their defense is the biggest part of this roster because last year their defense struggled They have revamped it under this new coaching staff, and I like their defense a lot. They've got Jacob Pulver, James Barclay, who they traded for from Whipsnakes. Yep. They bring in Jesse Bernhardt and Reese Eddy, and then Mike Manley. They are building from the back end up, and that's what you need to do in this league. And they are establishing that they are playing bully ball all season. Like, you are going to have to force your way through this Chrome defense if you want to score.
Again, during the entry draft, they had that shot to take Rob Pinnell.
Mm-hmm.
They had that shot, but they chose to take Jesse Bernhardt instead. I like the direction Tim Sudan is taking this team. It's just, will they mesh immediately?
Right.
Will his system work immediately? That's all that matters for them.
Face-off adds to that, too. Connor Farrell, Hunter Forbes, beasts.
Beasts. And who would have thought with Connor Farrell coming into last year? That man exploded onto the scene.
Absolute stud. I'm excited
to see what he does this year.
I'm excited to see him finally get full-time game minutes, where he's not switching in and out with Cimino, not losing that consistency. Connor Farrell is going to be a force. He's also lost a lot of weight. He was also on the Stripe podcast. I believe he said he was playing at 265 last year. He is down to 235 right now.
Wow. I mean, that's all football. Yeah, what, he was a lineman, wasn't he?
He was a middle linebacker. That's
all football weight. Yeah. Oh, even better.
So dropping 30 pounds for Connor Farrell, which may or may not have been milk weight, but
he's definitely still counting a gallon a day. Still. Easy. Let's be real.
Your goalies, Brett Queen or John Galloway.
We'll see if they do the same thing as they did last year, because at the end they started just switching off back and forth.
Eli Salama coming in as your lone LSM. I'm very excited for Eli to be in the PLL.
He's going to try to make some waves right off the get-go. He's going to want to make his name known, and he'll be working. It'll be fun.
Donnie Moss, John Rannigan, Jordan McIntosh, Justin Turry, Ned Crotty, Sam Duggan, Will House, your midfield.
It's going to come back to McIntosh and Crotty just like it did last year. I mean, you throw a Twarton winner in with a multiple-time All-American. Both of them have won almost everything you can win in lacrosse. So it's all going to run through them again.
And then your restricted roster, Ty Thompson, Foster Huggins, and Greg Kaholin.
This is a solid roster.
I'm buying into this Chrome team. I am pumped just see them come. I feel like this team has such a chip on their shoulder. You know, they've got the whole Chrome back thing. The guys that were on this roster, from Guddy to Jordan Wolf to Connor Farrell to both goalies to Rannigan, Jordan McIntosh, Ned Crotty, Will House, those guys
come out with a bite.
Those guys are going to be in that locker room letting these new guys know, because a lot of new guys on this roster, including the coaching staff, they're going to let them know, like, we have a chip on our shoulder and we have something to prove. Let's go out and do it. And I'm excited to see what they bring to the table this season, because I think Chrome could be a sneaky team once group play is all finished.
Nobody's going to be really looking at them at the beginning just because they've lost six men to not wanting to come to Salt Lake City, which makes complete sense, too. I mean, you got to take health and safety into account.
Absolutely.
But no Donowski or Joel White, that really decreases their stock on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But you just never know with this team. You just never know.
It's a new look team. It's going to be exciting. Team that everybody's looking at, myself included.
Roll Woods.
Being that we're both, you know, Philly guys and South Jersey guys, I texted a couple people, including a Redwoods assistant coach, one Chris Collins, the other day, and I said, I had a take. My take is, Roll Woods is just the PLL equivalent to Go Birds.
I mean, they're the team in green.
Chris Collins is a Philly guy.
Yeah. And you got fun celebrations galore with these guys. I mean, just look at Ryder Garnsey. Tell me that's not like the Eagles of 2017.
Yes.
That's just, and the miracle run they pulled off at the end of last year. It's really, that's on the money. Roll Woods is just go birds.
Roll Woods is just go birds in lacrosse speak. Redwoods roster, though, I'm very excited about how Nat St. Laurent put this together. Your attack group, Clark Peterson, coming back from, you know, the injuries he had last year. No more Westberg on this roster to block him from playing either. The man, the myth, the legend, Jules Hennenberg, friend of the show. I think Jules is an MVP candidate.
Matt, I would agree.
Matt Kavanaugh switching up to number 10. Gonna be a force.
And you got the main man, Ryder Garnsey.
And then friend of the show, Ryder Garnsey. Just a, everyone talks about the attack groups on Atlas, Chaos, even Chrome now, Archers. I don't think Redwood's attack group gets talked about enough because they played together last season as a group, but not for the entire season. Ryder came in mid-season. Yeah. Clark was out for a lot of the season. Jules was a mid-season acquisition. Cav is the only guy who was on this roster from the get-go. I'm excited to see these four guys finally play together for an entire season.
You saw glimpses of the potential they had in every single game that they played near the end of last year. And you could see that in the playoffs especially. I think Kavanaugh will look to increase on his total from last year. Jules has so much pressure coming into this year. So much pressure. And I think he'll definitely ride with it, roll with it, and put up, keep scoring. That's all he's got to keep doing.
Mm-hmm.
Clark and Ryder, they can come in. They can change games.
I'm so excited
for Clark. This is an exciting attack.
I'm so excited for Clark to finally get a full season in, playing with these three guys now. You know, Westberg is no longer on the roster. JoJo is not on the roster, unfortunately. So, I mean, Clark's going to get every opportunity to come in and really showcase what he did early on last season as a formidable attackman in this league. This defense, though, this is where it comes into play.
Just like last year.
The biggest question that is going to be answered is how important, which I think you and I both agree, how important was Matt Landis to this roster? You're going to have Garrett Eppel switching to number 11 from 52. Absolute power move.
Power move and a half. Right
Eddie there. Glazner back again, and then Finn Sullivan essentially sliding in for Matt Landis. Finn Sullivan's got big shoes to fill. Because you look back at the Chaos matchup in the playoffs where Landis Island shut down Connor Fields.
Yeah.
You know, that is going to be the key component here. Key member of this roster is Finn Sullivan. How does he step really up to the plate and really, you know, fill that void, for lack of a better term, that Matt Landis is leaving behind?
It's going to come down to Eppel and Glazner helping him out.
Mm-hmm.
We saw how great Eppel and Glazner were working with Landis last year. That defense was terrifying. I mean, they were massive. They had great stick skills. And they could knock the ball out of anybody's stick. The turnovers they could cause were just everywhere on the field.
Face-offs are going to play a big part in this, too. New face-off guys.
Grenlian.
Beast is gone. Jerry Raganese is gone. It's Greg Piskulgin and the rookie Peyton Smith, two guys that have not played in the PLL before. That, I think, is your biggest question mark of everything. Both talented guys, but they have to, you know, get up to speed with the PLL rules of the face-off. And, you know, you're facing off against some of, if not the best in the world with Joe Nardella.
Baptiste.
Now Jake Withers, you know, might be the one, not lacking spot, but just inexperienced spot for this Redwoods roster.
I think for every team to be on as a rookie FOGO, Redwoods is probably the best team for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're working with coaches like Nat St. Laurent, and you're working with guys like Kyle Harrison, who can come in and take faceoffs if need be.
Yeah.
And Greg probably comes back and helps them out with whatever they need.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton's a face-off academy guy.
Especially,
like,
yeah.
Works with so, Greg.
I think they'll come in and they'll do just fine. It'll take time, but within the next 2 to 3 years, I think this could be a dangerous FOGO position to really play against.
From the face-offs to the goalies, Gunnar Wall, Timmy Trautner.
Tim Troutner's got that locked up.
Tim Trautner is a potential goalie of the year candidate, especially now working with Chris Collins, legendary goalie in this sport. Tim's going to have a big year. LSMs, Hugh Krantz and John Sexton, not much to be said there other than Larkin Kemp is on the restricted roster and Hugh Krantz beats him out.
Which is pretty shocking, but...
Agreed, but we'll see what Hugh brings to the table for this team. I know Nat likes him a lot. So those are your two LSMs. And then we go to the midfield, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Brent Adams, Jack Neer, Joe Walters, Kyle Harrison, Miles Jones, Nick Ocello, Pat Harbison, Sergio Perkovic, and Tyler Dunn, also known as the most fit player in the league.
Shout out Nick Ocello. Just great job making the roster.
Big team guy.
So wrong. Big team guy. Deserves it 100%.
But then
you got Miles Jones coming over for Sergio Salcedo over the summer.
Put it in my veins.
Leaves number 48 open. Matt, give me a call. I'm always here. You need a third goalie. I can take that 48 number right off your hands real quick. But then you got Kyle Harrison, the ageless legend. I mean, ridiculous. He's one of the guys to really get me into the sport, and I'm so happy he's still playing. I'm so happy he's getting the opportunity to play in the PLL. He's just one of those guys. You think lacrosse, you think Paul Rabil and Kyle Harrison. Those are the first two guys that comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just happy he's still out there helping get younger kids who were like me into this wonderful sport.
And then the restricted roster, like we said, Larkin Kemp, Brendan Gleason, and Chris Price. This Redwoods team, when those PLL odds came out, I texted you and I texted Dom and I said that is free money easy with money. Redwoods at 9-2. And I know somebody who placed, I don't know somebody personally, but I know somebody who knows somebody who may or may not have placed a $1,500 bet on those 9-2 odds of Redwoods winning the championship, which if that pays off, they come away with $8,400.
Oh my God.
Before we get to the new dogs on campus, got to talk to you guys about our friends at Tomahawk Shades, the best in the business. I'm rocking my blue lights right now like I do in every single episode. I do it for every single show, so my eyes are protected. Harrison, do you like affordable things?
Absolutely.
Do you like free things?
Even better.
So right now, if you go to tomahawkshades.com, all orders $75 and over is free shipping.
Nah, it's a deal.
Easy money right there.
Nah, it's a deal.
They're affordable. My blue light glasses that I'm wearing right now, $35. You go online and try to find these brand names and these high-profile blue light glasses, they're going to cost you an arm and a leg, plus your kidney and your Social Security number. Why are you going to do that when you can pay an affordable price? Plus, we're going to give you our promo code USP at checkout, saves you 25% off your order, so you can put more into your cart and get more bang for your buck, get up to that $75 threshold, get free shipping, and earn Hawk points through their rewards program, because every dollar you spend, you earn one Hawk point, and it essentially turns into free money. Tomahawk Shades is doing it the best. They just partnered with Friday Beers. They are doing things in a massive way. We're thrilled to be partnered with them, and use our promo code USP at checkout to save yourself 25% off a quality product, an affordable price. Tomahawk Shades, go get them. They're the best in the business.
Do it. as a broke college student, I can tell you, you're looking for deals like this every single day.
Any chance you can get them. Let's talk about the new dogs, the water dogs. This roster looks like so much fun.
When are they dropping the jerseys, though? That's all.
That's all I need. The Water Dogs jerseys need to drop before the championship series. I've seen the helmet. Yeah. I've seen the stick, you know, the epic dragonfly and everything.
The colors. Colors of this team work so well with uniforms.
I need it.
They have a chance right now. And, I mean, this is a team that's, well, owned by the Barstool guys. So this is a chance to really promote this brand to a whole new audience of people who just listen to like PMT or something like that.
I need these jerseys. Like, I need air because purple is one of my favorite colors. So I just need to see it because, you know, friend of the show, big time homie, Ryan Drenner is on this squad. We need a Ryan Drenner jersey for the studio.
They'll be dripped out.
Joining Ryan Drenner in this attack group is Ben Reeves, Christian Cuccinello, Kieran McCardle, and Wes Berg.
That's fun.
Lethal.
That's just fun.
Lethal.
That's all you can... Exactly.
The defense, BJ Grill, Brody Merrill, Chris Sabia, Patrick Foley, who Pat just joined Twitter today, so shout out to Pat Foley. I like this defense a lot. You've got a goat in Brody Merrill playing with Chris Sabia, who I think is one of the up-and-coming defenders in this league. This defense is going to be a lot of fun. And they get boosted by that midfield, which we'll get to in a minute. But Drew Simoneau and Jake Withers at the face-off. Stupid. Stupid. When I saw...
That's going to be a face-off core that can compete with any other face-off in the world.
When I saw Water Dogs picked up Jake Withers, I immediately texted Andy Copeland and was like, Withers? He was
good
like,
job.
He was like, buy stock. I'm pumped.
I love what Andy's doing with this team.
You don't just get the nickname Wizard for nothing.
Exactly. He's trying to take this team, this brand new team, and take them to the moon. And that's something you love to see right out of it. It's like what the Vegas Golden Knights did in the NHL when they joined. It's just something you love to see.
Your LSMs, Noah Richard and Rylan Reese, who I think can go to battle with any LSM group. Those two guys are absolute studs. And then your midfield, which doubles down as just more attack power. Ben McIntosh, Connor Kelly, Dan Ipe, Drew Snyder, Kyle McClancy, Steve DiNapoli, and Zach Currier.
First, you bring Zach Currier into anything, and you're going to have a good time. That's just immediate. Drew Snyder, a lot of guys from the Whipsnakes, who we'll get into soon, but that's a big steal. That's a really big steal, is what they're doing.
Restricted list, Brian Karalunis, which is the biggest surprise to me, Ryan Conrad, and Tate Boyce. I'm stunned Brian Karalunis did not make this roster. Shout out to Noah Richard and Rylan Reese for beating him out. But Karalunis was a massive part of that Redwoods championship run last year. And Nat was very upset to lose him. So Karalunis being on the restricted list probably is driving Nat St. Laurent even crazier because he would love to have him on that Redwoods squad. But I'm a big fan of this Water Dogs roster. They look poised to do some big things.
You never know with a new team. You never know. But they could come in and really shake things up in the league, which is going to be fun.
The champions, the defending champs.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about this one.
This roster, I'll flat out say it. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the Whipsnakes and their chances. Their schedule is rough coming off of the championship.
They lost a lot of key pieces.
They lost so many key guys. And they're going to have a new look offense. And it starts up top with Matt Rambo, Brad Smith, Jay Carlson, and Zed Williams. Rambo is the only full-time returning attackman on this Whipsnakes roster. Carlson and Brad Smith were there last year, didn't play that much, if at all. And Zed Williams is brand new to the league.
I mean, right off the bat, why they didn't protect Ryan Drenner is beyond me. That man was cooking last year.
They just knew Drenner was going to look dripped out in purple. They did him a favor.
They did him a favor. They really did.
But this attack group, it, like the way that Staggs is going to have to run this offense now is going to be completely different from last year, in my opinion.
This is basically a brand new team is what this is. They've undergone so much transformation since September that we're definitely not looking at the same Whipsnakes.
The only other scoring threat that this team has that's returning is Chaney.
Yeah, who two-bomb Chaney
led the league in two bombs, and everyone else is relatively new or more defensive minded. You got Ty Warner, TJ Camizio, Max Tuttle is brand new. He was with Chrome last year. John House, who literally was almost a non-factor until the championship game when he was just scoring goals out of nowhere. Joe McCallion, Joe LoCascio, Jeremy Sieverts, and then Jake Bernhardt. Mike Earhart and Isaac Paparo at LSM, Burnlore and Jacob Stover at goalie, and then you've got friend of the show Joe Nardella. Congratulations to him being named to the NLL All-Rookie team as well as your face-off guy. And then you've got your returning defense of Brett Schmidt, Bryce Young, Matt Dunn, and Tim Muller. And then your restricted list is Dylan Maltz, Matt Hubler, Sean New. I'm not feeling great about Whipsnakes.
They were given solid odds on winning the title again.
Made no sense to me.
I don't see it.
Made no sense to me.
Unless Rambo can, like, carry the entire offense on his back throughout the entire tournament, I don't see it.
Rambo is so much more effective scoring from the outside and on the wing and just being able to create from the outside in space. I don't know how he's going to, you know, go to playing from X.
And he's not RJ Wolf. That was one of my teammates. He's not a Jordan Wolf player.
He's not Jules.
He's a totally different player. Setting up outside and just ripping it.
Yeah.
He's not the footwork kind of guy.
And now you're set up for a two-man offense, essentially, in my opinion, with Rambo and Zed Williams, because Zed Williams is one of the most lethal lacrosse goal scorers of all time. Homeboy scored like 400 and something goals in his high school career.
Zed coming in he'll boost the offense, but that's still not saying much compared to what they had last year.
They are banking heavy on this defense just shutting people down. That's my only...
They're banking heavy on Kyle Burnlore making the same saves he made last year as well.
Yeah.
And they tweeted out the stat today, what, he saved 62% of his fast-breaking shots?
Mm-hmm.
That's absurd. But you, as a goalie, I know full well that if you rely too much on your defense and goalies, you will lose.
Yep.
Because the old saying, a great offense is a good defense, doesn't always shape out in lacrosse because of how tired you can get so quickly.
And it's, the way I look at this too is, you know, the way that Staggs operated this team last year, every single week, it was the same guys playing. There was barely any switchability, which I can't blame them. If something ain't broke, don't fix it. They were clicking on all cylinders.
They were undefeated until like week five, week six, something like that.
They were rocking and rolling, and you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But now you've got a lot of new pieces coming into this offense, this midfield, and you better bank on this chemistry and just this winning culture that you established last year, uplifting these new guys and really bringing something, because on paper, I don't see it. It's a lot of, like, you tell an average lacrosse fan, oh yeah, Brad Smith plays for Whipsnakes. That could literally be your next door neighbor.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who Brad. No offense to Brad Smith, but
it's not. But that's just a generic name that you could hear, like on like backup third string NHL 04.
Right.
They ran out of names on the roster, and exactly.
Like there's a lot of clicking and chemistry that needs to be had once these guys get to Utah for training camp. Because
who knows though,
it's going to be interesting. Cause I don't like Whipsnake's schedule to begin with either. I think they have one of the toughest schedules.
They have a really tough run of it. What it's, they have Archers, Atlas, Chaos, and Redwoods.
Yeah. They play three of the, you know, best offenses in the league. You've got Atlas as well. Arguably, they're playing against the four top attack groups in the entire league.
Yeah.
Which is where
they're going to come into.
Their defense is going to be relied on heavy because you're playing against the likes of a group of the Bunk Bed Boys, Grant Ament, and Josh Currier with Archers, yep. And Tom Schreiber in there. Atlas, you're playing against RP3 coming into that offense with Klutsch, Ryan Brown, Eric Law, Paul Rabil, Romar Jordan Dennis. Baptiste. You know, you've got goal scorers on that squad. Chaos. And you have
the most dangerous attack in the league, in my opinion, with Chaos.
And their midfield with Fricaro and the bomb squad and everything that they do. And then you've got Redwoods. The revenge game. In the championship rematch.
Revenge game is what it's going to be.
Which
Redwoods, Nat St. Laurent is going to have these guys so fired up for the game against Whipsnakes that they won't be as fired up for any other game. This is their revenge match.
Yep. It's not looking good for Whipsnakes on paper, in my opinion. That's where I'll leave that. We did a lot of talking about the PLL, so we are going to save all of the NLL stuff for the next episode. But Harrison, did you see the graphic from Joe Keegan's 10-man ride on Ned Crotty that is just absolute gold?
Yes.
It needs to be framed.
What, the
Crotty's code?
It does. It's perfect.
It needs to be framed. I'm going to literally get that blown up and framed in the studio because
absolutely
that graphic is absolute gold.
I saw that and I was like, oh my God, that was one of the most perfect lacrosse pictures you could make. It had the stats on there to back up the making of the graphic and just looked sick. That's all you want.
Odds and ends that we didn't get to touch on yet either is the whole backyard lacrosse that came through.
If they make a backyard lacrosse game, I will lose my mind.
They better credit us because we laid the whole framework for a lacrosse video game. All I'm saying is just cut us our checks. Let you know, give us the credit.
Send us the game.
Send us the game. We'll play it on stream. Like it's not that
we'll
hard.
Have a good time.
Yeah, our most listened to episode of all time is the episode where Dom and I laid out the entire framework for 45 minutes of a lacrosse video game. I'm not saying that we laid it out for whatever company it may be, but we laid it out for whatever company it may be. You know, like run us our checks.
We better be seeing some of that. We better be seeing some of that.
But the backyard lacrosse stuff looks incredible. The PLL graphics team did one hell of a job.
They always do a great job.
I need to get the Redwood shirt. I need to get the Chrome shirt. Like the team logos looked incredible. That Water Dog logo should have been their team logo from the get go.
Oh yeah,
it was just
all of it's just mean. It's just tough.
It's
what it is.
So good. The animations that they did for the player cards were exceptional.
It was really funny.
They were great.
Really funny stuff too.
They were incredible. So shout out to the PLL design and graphics team for that. And then I don't know if you saw about an hour ago, the PLL is dropping the PLL mix on SoundCloud.
Wait, the what?
They're dropping a They are dropping a mix on SoundCloud tomorrow.
Oh, how did I miss that?
Which I'm assuming it is sound bites of mic'd up players thrown into the game soundtrack that they played at all the PLL stops.
Just It's just that Speed Boy remixed 50 times.
Which, I don't know about you, but I found the one goal song where, you know, it goes light it up and then it goes into like the whole thing. I found that on iTunes and I literally play that in my car going to work at least 3 times a week. It just gets me going. It gets the people going.
That's what a goal song should do too. That's the best goal songs in history are those ones that will fire you up every single time. Dupe for the Flyers.
Yes.
Always comes to mind. The fact that they changed away from that, it low key breaks my heart. That's one of the goal songs I grew up on, even though they used it for like 3 years.
Yeah.
That was just sad when they stopped using that one.
So PLL Mix tomorrow coming out on SoundCloud. And also, the PLL shouldn't be getting mad at places like Bleacher Report when we got you covered for all things Championship Series. And that's why you should be following us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at OTBLaxPod. You can follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311. Follow Dom on Twitter at Wash Lifestyle. Harrison, drop the Twitter handle for the people.
HarryGK83. Draw me a follow. I'll follow back. Why not?
Follow the kid. He's one of the interns for the Underground Sports Philadelphia summer intern program. And he's going to be doing a lot once our website's up. He's been writing team previews. So once we get up and running there, you'll be seeing a lot of blogs from Harrison throughout the PLL Championship Series. A bunch of NLL stuff as well. So follow him on Twitter. He's going to be dropping a ton of content for us throughout the entire summer, probably during the fall as well. So make sure you get on board with him on the Twitter machine and make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Leave those 5-star ratings and reviews. Don't be a coward. Don't leave 1-star ratings. Cowards never win. Nice guys never win. Wise guys never win. 5 stars only. We have standards. We know you do too. Drop a 5-star rating and review. Let us know what you think about these final rosters. They're fun. I want people's takes. Sure. We'll read them on the show if you drop them in there. Drop them. I check the Apple Podcast reviews very frequently, so make sure you drop a 5-star rating and review. Let us know what you think about the final rosters, and we'll be back later, probably early next week, talking about all the NLL stuff. Dom will be back. We'll talk about everything going on with the PLL because there's still so much to talk about. And if you don't have an iPhone, upgrade your phone so you can leave a 5-star rating and review. If not, you can check us out on Spotify, the TuneIn app, iHeartRadio, Radio.com, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, we are there. And again, shout out to Design Tree, shout out to Tomahawk Shades, and Harrison, your first OTB in the books.
I think it went really well.
How do you feel, brother? How do you feel?
That was great. Just talking lacrosse for 45 minutes to an hour, perfect.
That's what we do. That's just how we do things. We're the best in the biz for that reason.
Living the
dream. Exactly. This has been an absolute blast. You guys are the best. Make sure you stay safe. Be smart. Wear your fucking masks. I know I cursed.
Wear the masks. Come on.
Wear the mask. I mean, Twitter tweeted today that they will give us an edit button if everyone wears their masks. This is what it's boiled down to.
Yeah. Do you see that picture of Zion in the gym wearing
looking
that
like
mask?
Bane?
Exactly. You're literally saving lives by wearing a mask. It's a no-brainer.
It's so easy. You know, when you leave your house, you do your checklist, just keys, wallet, mask. It's not that hard. And for me, it's keys, wallet, Tomahawk Shades, mask. It's that simple. You guys are the absolute best.
Can't leave the house without those shades.
We know we got smart listeners, but for those, you know, that are a little lacking behind, wear your damn masks. We love you guys. This has been episode number 133 of the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. For Harry the K, I told him I was going to call him that. It's going to stick.
Yes, sir.
I'm your host, KB. We are signing off. Peace.